Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Prep Talk podcast hosted by myself, Pete Splips, and Nick Spiesdek. Today, we have a very special guest in Jonah Hodges. He is a former professional athlete, spent some time in the NFL, and spent some time playing abroad as well. He now runs a very successful wholesale and brand direct business. He leverages both Amazon and Walmart to help his partners navigate the e-commerce world. So thank you for coming on, Jonah. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. Excited to get after it.
Absolutely. So I really wanted to dive into kind of the origin story with Amazon, how you found Amazon, what that looked like, and how you've progressed a little bit from there.
Yeah. So for me, my first account on Amazon was one I've had since 2010. So I've had it for extremely long time. Back then, it started as my mom's account. So I was underage, just in high school. And back then, I'd flip anything on eBay, Craigslist, and kind of fell upon Amazon. And it was used iPhones, used textbooks mainly back then. And the whole time it was kind of just a side hustle because I was an athlete and trying to play professional football. So I never really had time or focus or energy for a career or like a real job. My goal was always to play football. And it was great because the e-commerce thing on the side was like how I'd make some money when I needed it. My parents, you know, I had a roof over my head, had everything I needed, but they'd never just hand me money. So anytime I wanted to buy something or anything of that nature, like football was not paying the bills. High school, college, no way. So Amazon was something where I could give it as much time as I wanted to and as much effort. So it truly did just start as a side hustle sort of thing that I would do on and off for like 9 years before I really went full time. And since then I've been a full time wholesaler for the past almost 5 years now.
Yeah. Jonah, can you, let's elaborate on it a little bit. Cause we see that a lot on the timeline right now, and we see some of the most successful people are former athletes. So can you just kind of go into what are some of the things or the commonalities from being a football player, being competitive, and how you've translated that into being a business owner?
Yeah, just so many like similarities between athletics and entrepreneurship. And for somebody like myself, I didn't have a business background or many people in my life that were entrepreneurs. A lot of my family members were in the educational space. So they're teachers, coaches, stuff like that. And for me, entrepreneurship is like totally you versus you mentality, right? Like you want to get better. You see other people around you who are doing well, like you're pushing yourself. You don't get instant results, just like with athletics, right? So I had no problem with showing up to early workouts and stuff like that, where most people don't want to do that. And just like with athletics, it's the same with business. And that's something that I fell in love with and saw the similarities. And, you know, I talk about it in my content, and you see so many more people because it's just drawing that crowd. And ultimately, like a lot of people coming out of college, you can have you played college sports, you have a degree, but there's no set career path for you, or you have no idea what you want to do next. And so I kind of just naturally fell into entrepreneurship. It helped getting declined from a few jobs along the way as well, right? But I feel like I was meant to be an entrepreneur, and that's just like with my sports background as well.
Yeah, that actually leads into something I wanted to bring up, which was I did see on the timeline that you, like, after playing football, you had applied for some you know, entry-level roles, kind of got hit in the face with the rejection, and now you're doing, like, you're running an awesome Amazon business. Can you speak a little bit to what that felt like in the moment and kind of how you leveraged that going forward from the rejection?
Yeah, I think it was just a reality check of how little my degree meant to, like, an employer who's hiring, right? So you see when you go on Indeed, it's like they want the degree, but then they want 8 years of experience. And it's like, dude, I just came out of college. I don't have experience, but I have my degree. And I was applying to places and really, you know, it's $40,000, $50,000 a year jobs and getting declined. And I felt like I just deserved more. At least I, you know, having a degree and 4 years of college, I thought at least I would. And it was a reality check, just like the level of entry job that you're going to get just becomes more and more competitive the more people that go to college and get a degree. So I love it now because just being like on my own schedule and working for myself, part of it is just because I didn't have to go that route. So like forget the success with the business and everything like that, more just finding like a career path that I enjoy and that, you know, can provide for the family was enough.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to pull something out you said at the beginning of the interview. I think it'll be really relevant to the audience, especially some folks that are a little bit younger going through it. So you mentioned your original account was on your mom's account there. Can you talk a little bit about, for folks that may be in a similar type position, what were some things that you learned with doing that? Is there anything that you would change differently if you were in that boat today?
Yeah. So for me starting out like with Amazon, I had no idea it was going to be a business, right? So like I said, it was my mom's account. It was just an individual account, no LLC attached to it. And so over time I transitioned, right? So I signed up for an LLC and attached that to the business. Starting out though, I definitely would say just like keep it as clean as possible. If treat it like a business. So have your LLC attached, everything like that. I'd like that same account I still have, and some stuff goes to my mom's email. She's like, what is this? Like, and so I just so many headaches, but yeah, starting out for sure, being more official with the business is just a good way of going about it.
Excellent. And what's the operation look like today?
Yeah. So how it works now is like, I partner with brands, I partner with distributors, I partner with retail stores. And I'm kind of looked at as the e-commerce guy. So, you know, brands, they have what they focus on. Distributors focus on selling to retail stores. And a lot of people, at least up until this point, have seen Amazon as kind of like the discount site, the other site that you just kind of list to, and that's that. When it's so much more that goes into an Amazon business, that once you have one, you understand why a brand can't just list their stuff on Amazon. It's like, okay, you have to fulfill the inventory on a consistent basis. People fail at that. And then you're out of stock, that kills sales. So I kind of found that I was pretty good at Amazon. Like in general, I look at Amazon as a set of skills. And I built a team behind me for that. And now we'll partner with brands and, like I said, distributors. And I just try to open accounts and either buy in bulk or I'll share a profit percentage. But ultimately, it's like getting access to as many brands that are selling online as possible, and honestly, better and better ones. And over time, the business has kind of transitioned from traditional wholesale, where I would just buy and resell whatever, had no connection to the brand, to where now normally on talks with either a brand owner or head of sales, somebody like that.
But and that like development took 10 years going from books to some arbitrage, which I saw you're still doing a little bit of with the Rakuten check today. And then, you know, we developed that over time. I feel like we see on the timeline a lot of people wanting to go from like 0 to 100 like that. Could you speak a little bit about like how grueling that process was to go from the very beginning to where you are now and how much effort it took to get there?
Yeah, it was that, first of all, because like, you know, for me, I luckily, one of my first connections was a distributor that I had a close relationship with. And so instantly, right, I have access to a sheet of products that I have to dig through myself. So I spend time looking through each sheet line by line. Then I figure out, oh, you can use some Scan Unlimited for things like this, right? Like this was before I was really into software and social media and stuff like that. It was just like figuring it out. But it ended up paying off so much because like I spent so much time in Amazon Seller Central, like learning the back end and editing listings and figuring all those intricacies out. So that is like a skill that I realized, oh, I can actually help people by teaching them this stuff, or I can help brands by getting more sales to their listings and offering good ideas. Like you guys have these two products in your catalog, let's create a bundle listing. And so that's the sort of stuff now that I'll create a listing for a brand. I'll be the exclusive seller for that. And is a way for I can give them forecasted purchase orders because I know how often it's selling and stuff like that. So it's a mix of a little bit of everything with what we're doing.
Yeah. And then Jonah, can you talk? So this is, you're definitely one of our first guests to come on that talk about how to give brands value and looking at them as, you know, growth partners or people along that journey. So what does that look like? You mentioned the first part, like really diving into Seller Central and understanding that and adding that as a toolbox to your capabilities that you can offer them. What are some other things that folks that are also starting to think in that lens should be considering as they're approaching brand owners?
So one thing I'd say is even just fulfillment, and like fulfillment and logistics is something that you can offer to brands and distributors, because a lot of brands, they're selling well on Amazon, but the brand can't stay in stock, or there's not a lot of FBA stock, where people like undervalue and underestimate how many sales will increase if you're an FBA offer. So like something we'll do is target brands where maybe they've just been doing it themselves, FBM, for the past couple of years. A lot of people do that where they just won't ever learn FBA. It's just confusing for whatever reason. So understanding and explaining that to somebody, like customers trust a FBA product. They want the Prime badge. We can do that for you. So these are ways that then, like, you know, you can do a lot more. And at the end of the day, I'm still just buying from them and reselling, but just explaining it in that manner shows that, like, you know what you're doing and you're the e-commerce guy they trust.
Yeah, 100%. So what did that epiphany moment look like for you when you're doing wholesale, you're finding some success, and then just saying, hey, I'm going to like try and get one, you know, step up the ladder. What did that look like from the onset?
Yeah. So one of the first like tips I always tell people is look local to you in terms of suppliers, brands, any connections, because for me, it was somebody local and we weren't their Amazon seller. They had a seller already. We were doing wholesale at that point. We were allowed to sell her products on marketplaces like Walmart, but Amazon was off limits. And so that was just a 18 months relationship we had. You know, we'd sell some on the side for these other marketplaces and stuff, but the main goal was like, we want to learn more about what they're doing and eventually have them work with us. And we did, we earned that business. And along the way, I actually sat down with them and said, like, what are you doing with your current partner? Like, what is it they offer? How's the deal structured? Because I want to offer you more value. I want to be a better partner for you. And so for me, I always say, like, if there's a local connection some way, or just even a face-to-face connection, like, that's an easy way for you to find a brand you can buy from.
Perfect. Yeah. I want to tap into that a little bit, right? So there's something, whenever you're starting to work with brands, a lot of it's getting into brand registry. So for folks that are unfamiliar with that process, what is that onboarding piece where you're starting to have the engagement with the brand owner? And what does it look like to actually get in brand registry and the capabilities that you can position to a brand owner to be able to leverage better?
Yeah. So if a lot of brands don't know, but or sellers in general, but when you're on Amazon and you're on a product listing, if you click on the brand name, if it goes to a storefront, that brand is brand registered, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. If you click on the brand and it just goes to nowhere, that brand doesn't have a storefront. So that's something we'll do before we target people, is kind of figure out where they're at. What we've seen too is if they do have a storefront, it's normally somebody like us created it for them. Like they had some partner who, and they don't even really understand it at all. They just had somebody do it for them. We say now, like, there's just so much more you can protect your brand if you're brand registered. So everybody's nervous and about resellers breaking MAP pricing, even just being brand registered. Not that you're going to file complaints, but you have more connection and control with Amazon that then you can be like the partner on behalf of the brand. So brands need brand registry because, like, just for the control side, but also like marketing with the storefront, the A+ content, you can add so much more to a listing. And ultimately, like, customers see it more often, they buy more, Amazon's algorithm picks it up, and it's just overall better for everybody.
awesome. So shifting gears a little bit, I think that our audience probably is sitting in the OA space right now and looking to graduate. Where do you see people that are in that position in the OA space kind of struggle as they start to kind of go up the ladder a little bit?
Yeah, honestly, I would say overthinking it. Like sometimes it's just overthinking the process of wholesale, right? Like wholesale is not that complicated of a process. A lot of the times you just need to have the conversation first. So if you're an OA seller or an RA seller, what products are you selling right now? Is that a product where you can work directly with? Maybe it's a brand that you can. If it's a big brand, then you probably won't. So then it's just about still, who is it that distributes that product? And kind of think about working your way up the supply chain. So I always think about Amazon in general and how I've worked with my business and see it going is like getting farther and farther up the supply chain. I think we all know it would be ideal if we were the brand owner and we were doing $1 million a month and, you know, we had 60% margins and all that. That's the best idea with Amazon, right? But if you can't have that, then you want to maybe have ownership in the brand. If you can't have that, maybe you partner with the brand. If you can't have that, well, then you buy from the brand. Okay, so now I'm like a distributor. I'm buying from the brand. If I can't do that, then I want to be the wholesaler who's buying from the, and just keeps going up the supply chain. So as an OA seller, it's like, who are the distributors who are distributing this product and who are the brands? Can I contact them?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think so. What you're demonstrating there is just the different levels of professionalism that there is in the Amazon space, and particularly the systematic thought process of how you went through. These are all the different ways that I can try to create a moat or be able to find a different way to provide value to the partners that essentially you're working with there. What are some other things that you've learned over the years that you kind of looked at and say, hey, these were key milestones where I understood a new aspect of the business, or now as you're scaling, there's a new set of problems to be able to solve. Can you kind of walk through some of those things for folks that are kind of starting to plan ahead as well?
Yeah, I think just for planning ahead with wholesale, understanding that if you're not 100% authorized to sell a product, that every brand has a shelf life, and not that, you know, that could just mean that more sellers join and now it's not profitable, or that supplier doesn't have unlimited stock, so it dries up. So understand that if you can place yourself in the supply chain, like you become a valuable piece. And so for me, I do that by either going directly with the brand, or I'll find a retail store who I think, you know, they obviously have access to product, but they're not doing anything online, right? So that's one of my connections I have, is like I will partner with a retail store and split profit with them. And I get access to buy through them to their distributors, right? And you even find ways when you start working with different partners like this, like you can partner up and truly like source new brands and new connections. So being like just putting yourself in supply chain, I'd say.
Awesome.
So you mentioned an aspect of like, you know, scaling and your growth. I know that in the summer we had some account health issues. The OG account was under siege. Can you talk a little bit about what happened there, what you learned, and what your positives may have come from it?
Yeah, for sure. So got that same account I had since 2010, like almost 2,000 reviews. I'm buying product from tons of suppliers at this point now. Like I'm doing the brand direct stuff. I'm doing wholesale. I'm doing arbitrage. Like business is kind of everywhere. And we have a decent sized team of like virtual employees online as well. And it got to the point, you know, they're doing the sourcing. We have templates. We're contacting, blah, blah, blah. I see that we have this product. It looks good. I say, okay, place the order. And I look at the listing, there's 10 sellers, there's no brand on it, one image, you know, one of those things where it just looked like a great product. Uh-huh. The margin was so good, like that should have been the red flag alone for me. Like it was just one of those things that you just overlook it. And so we probably sold $5,000 revenue worth of this product, like 100 units. It was very minimal. And with wholesale too, you're going to see, you're going to get contacted by brands that tell you, you know, don't sell our product. That's kind of just Amazon in general. But I never got any of those. I just opened my account one day and it's on the account health counterfeit with a test buy. So what that means is the brand bought the product from us. They claimed it was counterfeit. And now it's up to us to prove otherwise. So I upload the distributor's invoice. Amazon declines it. I upload it, decline it, right? So I go back to the guy. He's kind of just like, that's, it is what it is. I'm like, so you don't have any other invoice. Like, I know that you are not buying this direct. Just give me an invoice to like your next guy. And it ends up like a lot of back and forth. We don't really go anywhere. The guy ends up kind of just disappearing. And you look him up online and it's like, there's no Google Maps, like images of a distributor or a warehouse, anything like that. And so it comes down to just our word versus the brand's word. And ultimately, like, we lost the account over it. So basically with that, it was shut down for 6 months. No idea what, but for 6 months back and forth with Amazon, I'm opening cases. I'm contacting the brand. So they're asking me to contact the brand. The brand I was in contact with a lot, we actually had a legal team helping us, but they said they will not retract the complaint. That's kind of their policy. A lot of brands I've seen policy is if they file a complaint, they won't retract it. And with many accounts and problems like this, it's normally fine. Even if you have an IP complaint on your account, you're not going to get shut down, but mine was counterfeit with a test buy. So I was basically just done at that point. Lost it for 6 months, opened the account one day, and we're back active selling. I think partially because we, number one, we're under loan. So we had a decent sized balance with Amazon, but we also had a decent sized loan with them. Mm. So it was like, okay, our balance is going to pay off the loan. We have inventory just locked up that's not selling, you know, but we still have this loan. So now they sell through it all and it's paying off the loan. So it's been good so far because we're making sales every day. It's going towards our loan, but honestly, we didn't have any sort of like email from Amazon saying success, like you're back activated. It was just like reactivated somehow. So that's basically as far as it goes so far.
So one thing that you never would know it on the timeline and how you interact, just the level of professionalism and the composure there, right? So I can imagine that's something that the human side of that. Can you just kind of talk a little bit about like how you handled that adversity? What were the things that you were thinking about to say like, this is how I'm going to get through this?
Yeah, for me, I have partners in this business. And I say that because that helped me through those times. So like with business, when you have partners, the wins are as even better if you do it alone. And the losses are even better because like now you have your boys that you got to figure out how we're going to get out of this, right? So our mentality the whole time, and that was something my wife mentioned too. She's like, I'm just so surprised none of you guys turned on each other because it was just the bottom of the barrel. And that's when we like came together and figured out like, we're going to figure it out, dude. Because like when you have massive debt, your account is shut down. Like it's not a good place to be at. And obviously for me, it was kind of like a sink or swim sort of moment, or at least mindset wise, that's how I look at it. You know, like I don't know how it's going to go. But just being confident and understanding like life has seasons too. Like if we can get through this, which we did, so took 5-6 months, but overcame it. And I know one day it's already becoming that like close to them, but it's going to be a good story one day and just like getting through it all, you know?
What sort of adjustments did you then make kind of on like the operational side to just make sure that like that didn't happen, maybe hedge your bet? How did you kind of go about that from a tactical?
Yeah. So we were already doing like majority brand direct at this point, still probably like 30-40% wholesale, just buying any good deals we came across, you know, that was kind of an eye opener for us, at least And at the time too, like I've had multiple Amazon accounts. Number one, it was like, this isn't fair to my brands I work with. You know, like I have direct relationships with brands, and instantly when the account shut down and I can't place orders, they're like, hey, what's going on? You know, like you've been placing these consistent POs all the time, and now I can't place POs because like I got credit card bills due, loan payments. So I've heard of this happening to sellers, and they lose their exclusive deals over it, you know, and they lose their partnerships. So number one, it was like, I got to keep things separate for sure. And number two, just that long term, I can just see it in the rhetoric with Amazon. Like they want you to at least be authorized. Like if you're not the direct seller, they want you to be an authorized supplier on their platform. That's the only way they can guarantee like authentic products. So my business was already going that way. I'm kind of just doubling down in that avenue.
Yeah. Have you, as part of that too, started to look like what are some of the other channels? Are you looking into Walmart at this point? And what does that fulfillment channel kind of look like in terms of a adding to the portfolio of your business?
Yeah. So like we sell on Walmart, we sell on TikTok Shop, but they're nowhere near what Amazon is. It's more of a talking point with some brands. We have gotten brands that were only Walmart at first, that over time they said we could have Amazon as well. And it's not because we were selling a ton on Walmart. It's more just like length of the relationship. What I would say too is, and I look at it as another platform, is just different marketplaces with Amazon. So that's something we've been doing more of recently. It's something that brands and distributors are very interested in. So just being able to distribute products to other countries, Amazon Canada, Amazon Mexico. We signed up with a company called Frisbee to get our NRI, just our importer number for Canada. So now we're able to do like FBA shipments in Canada. So we're exporting some brands as well. So just trying to be more like diverse as a company, so that if for some reason, you know, the US is great, but if I can also bring value by growing your sales from zero to something in Mexico, like that's a case study, that's a win, that's a story I can tell somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah, it feels like just uncovering all of these different opportunities. I see a lot of OA sellers that are like, I only will sell in the US because maybe they haven't dug into the numbers of understanding all the fees and such that are different with the different marketplaces. But no, I mean, that's really cool to hear that you're kind of on that forefront. As we sort of wrap up here, we like to end with just kind of like an open forum. Is there anything that you feel like maybe hasn't gotten the right amount of attention that you'd like to kind of share with the audience?
Man, I think like there's so many things we could go into. For your audience specific, I would say just, I think a lot of people look at Amazon, and it's partially probably us as content creators, our fault, but like as niched businesses, right? It's like, this is the RA group. This is the OA group. This is the wholesalers, the private labelers. But like my whole thing is I've just tried to learn as many skill sets of Amazon as possible, because there's so many different avenues for finding product to sell, right? So like, sure, you're the OA guy, but if you're at a party and you're talking to someone who owns a grocery company or a, you know, a retail store, like there's certain ways that you can find like, oh, that guy is kind of in the same field as me. And so like now I'm known as the e-commerce guy, but like 95-98% of my sales are Amazon, right? So I just would never introduce myself as like I'm an Amazon seller. It's like I zoom out, but then like the more you dig into it, like that can be what your specialty is. So now when I have conversations with people, I'm like the Amazon e-commerce guy. So I would just say, think of yourself as like, you know, Amazon, which is a massive marketplace, be the e-commerce guy and be open to finding product anywhere, because suppliers are everywhere.
Yeah, I think that Amazon presents you with a great opportunity to start becoming the e-commerce guy. Mm-hmm. It may feel like you're just the Amazon guy when you start, but just continuously be growing.
And just Amazon in general too, right? Like that's for me as well. It's like, this is how I got my foot in business. I know one day it might be a totally different venture. So It can take you anywhere.
Yep, 100%. Well, really appreciate you coming on. It's been a good conversation. To everybody that's listening, drop Jonah a follow. He's very, very entertaining on the timeline. We appreciate all of his content because I learn something every time I be on there. So, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. Appreciate it, you having me.